Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are introducing a new company to the show. This company's really been around for about 3 years. Company's name is Talisker Resources, traded on the TSX under the symbol TSK and on the OTCQX under the symbol TSKFF. We are chatting with the president and CEO, Terry Harbert. Now, Terry, the company is focused in BC. You guys have a handful of projects, a couple at a resource stage, one at a discovery stage, and a couple more at the permit stage. Now, the flagship really is the Brailorn property, but I want you to bring us through how this company came to be, why it was formed, when it was formed. Take us through the inception of the company and the strategy behind that, please.
Yeah, for sure. Look, it all comes down to trying to look for opportunity in the exploration space. And we were looking for a style of mineralization, low sulfidation epithermals in British Columbia at early stage. We'd been doing some work with West Haven Ventures, now West Haven Gold Corp. Many of your listeners might know them from the Shovel Nose discovery near Merritt in BC. We saw before they got their results that they were likely to have a discovery, and that whole belt called the Spencer's Bridge Gold Belt was going to change from a frontier gold belt where there hasn't been a discovery and there are no mines into an emerging belt where there's at least one or more projects that are being developed. We were able to free stake that area, nearly 200,000 hectares, which at the time was the largest single land staking in British Columbian history, gave us 85% control of that Spencer's Bridge gold belt. And really, that's how we started off as a company, doing early stage or greenfields exploration. For the last 3 years, we've had over 20 geologists in the field there doing sort of a large company style of greenfields exploration, stream sediments, soil programs, and really developing organically brand new projects.
Well, Terry, you know, walk us through some of the key work that the company is going to be doing at the flagship at Brailorn. I mean, I still remember when it was in the hands of Avino Silver and Gold and when Talisker made the acquisition, but bring everybody up to speed on the work that you've already done on it, both surface work and drilling, and then what the plan is for this year at the asset.
Well, it's really interesting how we picked up the Brailorn project, because we started looking for other areas that looked like the Spencer's Bridge gold belt. So we started stepping across and we staked the Lola belt and then the Remington belt. And then we came across the Brailorn camp, which is a whole new deposit type or an orogenic style of deposit. So we ended up acquiring that from Avino Silver and Gold Mines. Our team works very hard to understand the controls of mineralization and crack the code, if you like, to be able to really develop these old camps and add millions and millions of ounces. At Brailorn there, we've taken a very aggressive approach. We're coming up now on 150,000 metres drilled into Brailorn over the last 2 years since we acquired it. And we're coming up over the next couple of months to our maiden resource there. And really what we're looking at is being able to provide somewhere in the realm of 1.5 to 2 million ounces for this first resource. And we're expecting a grade profile of around 7 to 9 grams per tonne. So looking very encouraging, high grade, near surface maiden resource.
So Terry, that's a lot of drilling that is going into this maiden resource. What's the goal after the resource? I realize this is a big stepping point for the company, but you're talking million plus ounces at a high grade in BC. Is this a development play or is there still a lot of exploration to do?
Really interesting thing about Brailorn is that it's currently a fully permitted project. It's got a major mines permit, M207. It's connected to grid power. It's got access through Highway 40 direct to the front gate. It's already got a maintained tailings dam. It's got discharge permits. So it's really got a lot of the boxes ticked for a due diligence process. What we've drilled off so far is just to inferred stage, but it's all within 700 meters from surface. So Brailon effectively could almost immediately go back into production. The current mine's permit production rate is quite small. It's 100 ton per day. We're currently in the process to upgrade that or increase that to 1500 ton a day. So the project could break that 100,000 ounce production threshold that really acquirers and major companies are looking for. At present, Talisker doesn't have the expertise to put things into production. It's something we're constantly considering as a company. And a lot of that will depend on what the market conditions are like and what access to capital is like. Do we continue to grow the project? We really believe that there's plus 5 million ounces there available away from the old working, so in new areas, or do we look at starting to phase into production for the project?
Well, Terry, just along that line of thinking, maybe to let people know that are not familiar with this, that nearby New Gold has their new Afton processing center and they have spare capacity. So that could also be another angle to at least augment, you know, the beginning of the production profile is to have some kind of an agreement where you don't need to build the mill initially and could truck it over there as one of the options, and then just walk people through what the other options would be.
Absolutely. We are seriously having a look at that right now. We're looking at sending material for metallurgy in New Gold process so we can really see is there availability to truck material over there. They're at about 60% capacity, New Gold. For the listeners who don't know the New Afton project, it is Canada's largest block cave mine in production. It's got a 16,000 ton a day mill, so very large processing facility. It's about 200 kilometres for us to truck from Brailon over there. The economic cost of that, we think, is around about a gram per tonne to put it in a gold per tonnage scenario. Other things that could really augment that is this great new ore sorting technology that's available, both either using optical or colour-based ore sorting or X-ray, which is a density-based scenario. We've got both options available to us at Brailon. The veins are quite white in colour and most of it's hosted in a diorite, which is quite dark. And they also have a significant amount of sulfide in them. So that allows us to be able to separate and reduce the amount of material that if we had a trucking scenario, we'd be able to truck a lot less material, probably about a third of what we'd need. What we really see is that's a first step in production at Brailon. Brailon itself, you'd certainly be able to justify your own production plant. But this is a way to get in production and use the income from that production to be able to invest in that later term capex. So as opposed to having that capex before you're in production, you'll be able to use that production to be able to build a mill and build a processing plant. What we're really looking at Brailon also is other styles of mining. Initially and historically, Brailon was a narrow vein production. But what we've realized recently is that there are broad fracture halos around the veins, up to 5, 10 or even 15 meters. So what we're investigating now is a more bulk style of mineralization with bigger stope widths. So in this scenario, we could mine a 5 or a 10 meter wide section at a lower grade. And really, when you transition into that, then it's a much bigger scale project. And that'd be a great time to transition from a toll milling scenario into a local milling scenario.
Okay, so it sounds like still a lot of information to come out when it comes to this Brailon property, the resource, and then weighing the different options if you were to move into some sort of construction, development, and then production. But there is still a lot of exploration potential, it sounds like. Let's move on to a couple of the other projects then. The Ladner property, also in BC. All these projects are in BC. This was more recently acquired, back at the tail end of last year, October 2021. What's the strategy here at Ladner?
Well, a very similar strategy again to Brailon. It's geologically in a very similar zone on a major continental suture zone with a lot of deep rocks coming up. So it's got all the right conditions to host a large-scale deposit. Again, we've got a very large land package there, 14,000 hectares that covers the entirety of the Coquihalla Gold Belt. There's a large number of historic little mines where they've mined veins. There was a small-scale production in the 1980s. About 40,000 ounces were taken out of there. And what we really see is that project, the whole belt needs proper systematic scientific work, which our team is really well known for. So we're looking at doing a large-scale soil program there across around about 10,000 samples across that entire belt. We want to be able to drill and take the resource to 1 million ounces indicated within the next 18 months and then explore regionally to add 2 to 3 million ounces, really bringing this project up to the forefront. Again, similar to Braylon, the Ladner Gold Project is fully permitted, much larger, 2,300 tonnes a day. So again, this is another project that could be fast-tracked to production. It's also on a major highway, again, only 80 kilometres this time on the four-lane Coquihalla Highway right up to Kamloops and to New Afton. So it's got great potential, once again, to form another toll milling scenario, low capex, fast track to production.
Well, Terry, a third project I think we should at least highlight for folks that's still building value in the company is the Golden Hornet project. You had some discoveries on that earlier in the year with some high-grade gold and some copper in there. Maybe just walk us through some of the groundwork you're doing over at Golden Hornet.
Yeah, some really good results coming back there in our very first drill program. We drilled the first 14 holes there, about 5,000 metres in total. We've defined about a kilometre strike length of an anomalous 3 kilometres or 2.8 kilometres in the soils. Very happy to say that each of those 14 holes intersected sulphide mineralisation and silica breccia mineralisation. The best hole there returned nearly 9 grams per tonne gold, 8.88 grams gold, 0.43% copper, nearly 15 grams of silver across a 5-metre intercept. So very good start there. We've got some other good intercepts there, nearly 10 grams per tonne, 9.99 grams per tonne, and another one of 11 grams per tonne. So a great start to that discovery there. We've still got a lot of work to do. It's very early, but the indications look very good. We want to be able to drill off a footprint there and also drill one of the satellite projects, the Brunato. Another good result, a good press release to come out for any listeners who have interest there. Nearly 25 grams per tonne across several metre to metre and a half intercepts. So looking very early, and this forms a very strong third project in our portfolio at discovery phase. So Braylon at the top, at advanced resource drill out, Ladner coming in second there, ready to go for resource drill out, and stepping down to Golden Hornet at footprint drill out phase and discovery.
So the company also has the Nova and Cyclone properties. These are beside each other, so no more of a consolidated land package here. Instead of getting into those projects as well, Terry, where will the focus be here? You have a lot of projects. It sounds like a number of them are drill ready. What should investors understand about the focus of the company when it comes to exploring all these projects?
Well, our focus is clearly driven towards building resource at Braylon. It's our flagship, and really that's where we're putting all of our focus and all of our investment, or the majority of our investment at this stage. But what I want to make it clear to listeners is that we're building a great pipeline here. Whether we put Braylon into production or we are able to divest, we have a suite of projects that are coming up to form the next flagship, whether that's the focus of a SpinCo or whether it's a new project coming forward or a secondary production project, depending on which pathway the company takes. But to be clear, Braylon's our flagship, That's what we've put a lot of drill meters in. We're coming right up to our resource, and we'll be looking to expand that resource and head towards that 5 million ounces of high-grade gold ounces.
Well, Terry, with so many projects on the go and kind of at different stages, it might be nice for you to unpack your background in the mining industry since it's your first time on the show, and then maybe one or two other people on the management team or on the board that you feel are going to help the company execute on the strategy.
Sure, guys. My background and most of our team's background is out of big company exploration. My background, my accent, you'll be able to pick that I'm Australian. I left Australia about 20 years ago after completing my PhD in geology and structure and tectonics. I spent 10 years with AngloGold Ashanti and their Americas exploration team. And that's really where the Talisker Exploration Group comes from. We're all big company trained. We're all PhD and master's level. So a very scientific team. We've been very fortunate throughout our time together as a team to have been able to amass a discovery record approaching 60 million ounces. So we're a very experienced team. We know how to build exploration teams, mentor and develop and design and implement very systematic exploration that leads to discovery of millions of ounces. We've also got a key forte of looking at historic projects and being able to unlock value of millions of ounces. And we've recently had some pretty good success there in Canada, working as consultants with the Cisco Mining Group at Windfall, which is now at 6.5 million ounces, and also at the Caribou Project just up the road from us at Braylon, with now owned by the Cisco Development Corp, adding there another 6.5 million ounces. So what I just want to make clear is we're a very experienced team, a very serious team, and a very scientific team. And we follow the process to add millions of ounces and bring that return to our shareholders through science.
All right, Terry, let's also talk about the share structure here. There are quite a number of shares outstanding, 329 million outstanding, 354 million fully diluted. However, the makeup of shareholders, a lot of well-known groups, institutional shareholders hold just under 30%, as well as some well-known resource companies. Can you take us through some of the key shareholders and those supporting the company, please?
Absolutely. And as a comment on the share count, we've done an awful lot with the money that we've raised. So we've got multiple projects that can head to resource. And that's why we really see this strong backing here with some big names that generally don't invest in early stage exploration companies. Franklin Templeton around about 10%, Equinox Partners out of New York, Merck, Sprott US, RBC, Chris Beer's group, Conwave and Gold 2000 out of Switzerland. So some very strong support from the institutional shareholders, but also some very strong support from strategics. The largest there is our regional partners, New Gold, 14.9% of the company that they own, but also ownership there with a Cisco group who've got 5.6% of the company. So very strong holding there. And of course, insiders, including myself, over 6.5% ownership. Myself have put over $1.5 million into the company, both in private placements and on market. So we really stand behind what we're trying to achieve.
Well, Terry, just bring us up to speed briefly on what the cash position is of the company at present and what the budget is for this year's work program.
We have about $10 million currently in treasury. That's focused on getting us to the resource program. And then depending on market conditions, we'll look at what we want to do for the second half of the year. I'm sure everybody's feeling that everybody's facing fairly difficult market conditions at the moment. So we'll certainly play out after our resource and see what the market conditions look like and plan what our work program is for the second half of the year, next year, based on availability of capital and our market conditions.
All right, Terry, appreciate this introduction here. There's a lot going on within this company, and it sounds like a lot of news coming out this year, especially around that Braylon property. If anybody has any follow-up questions for Terry regarding any of the work that's ongoing, please email us, fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. We will also have Terry back on the show to follow up on this intro call as some news is released. So that's a great opportunity to answer any of the questions that you all send in. Terry, thank you for this introduction, and keep us up to date on future news, please.
Shad, Corey, thanks very much.